WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. That's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome and good evening. You are tuned into Monday Night Talk, an abbreviated radio program. Let's get some of the information out to you real quick here as to what the show will contain. Of course, it's going to be a brief radio program because at 7 o'clock, we have a political forum with candidates running for select board in Plymouth. Again, that's at 7 o'clock. Guest for this evening show, we have the State House Report with State Representative Dave DeCoste, and we have the County Corner with Plymouth County Commissioner Jared Valenzuela. Now, before we go into traffic, joining us is our premier sponsor, Mr. Richard Rosen, as he has some news to share with us, as he's a big fan of the Olympics. Mr. Rosen, give us the details as to what's going on over at McGuigan's and the patio.
Thanks, Kevin. I know we have limited time, so I'll try to be brief. And more specifically, the women's Olympic soccer team, which has two sisters, both from Hanson, both graduates of Whitman Hanson, and I think it is a once-in-a-lifetime thing that's going on here. So we're trying to obviously showcase the towns in the Olympic Games. So what needs to happen in order for us to do this, and I'll get to that in a second, is tomorrow morning at 4 a.m., the girls play the Australian team. So if they win that game, they can get into the quarterfinals. So the quarterfinals will be Friday, the 30th, this Friday, at 6 a.m. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because if they win that, they get into the semifinals, which is a week from today, August 2nd, at 7 a.m., which we will be opening the patio at 7 a.m. to have a watch party. We're not normally open at 7 a.m., nor are we open on Mondays, but we're going to do both. And if they win the semifinals, the final match will be Thursday night, August 5th at 10 p.m., which I have a contract to rent a big, giant digital TV to put on Washington Street, Whitman Center. The selectmen have already given me permission to serve, alcohol and Harpoon, Mew S.A. beer, outside on Washington Street, and we're going to have one big, giant watch party.
But, of course, a lot of things have to happen before then, starting with tomorrow morning, correct?
They have to just keep winning. And, you know, they lost a game the other day. It was their first time in 44 games.
Yes, we did.
And we just hope that they don't lose again in another 44 games. I mean, this truly is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for all of us to witness this.
Well, we'll definitely have to check in with you next Monday, depending on how things happen or transpire tomorrow, Friday, and, of course, next Monday. That is Richard Rosen, premier sponsor, as he is the proprietor of McGuigan's Pub and the patio. Time for us to give you traffic one final time, and that's being brought to you by Brennan Smoke Shop, online at brennansmokeshop.com. Locations, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford, Weymouth, and now Hudson, New Hampshire.
Thanks, Kevin. The expressway southbound, you're on the brakes from the Mass Pike to Southampton Street. You get a lot of running room, but then you're back in it from Furnace Brook to the split. Northbound sluggish from the Braintree split up to Freeport Street. Route 3 south, you're on the brakes from the expressway to Union Street. 93 south is backed up from the Braintree split to Route 24. Route 24 south is slow from 93 to Route 139. This report is sponsored by Whole Foods Market. At Whole Foods Market, get animal welfare certified 90% ground beef for $4.99 a pound through July 27th, plus an extra 10% off for Prime members while supplies last. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm Lisa DeMilo in the WATD Traffic Center.
Mallory, this has been like the best worst summer ever.
Why do you say that, Jeffrey?
The weather.
Oh, the weather. Mm-hmm. The boat sure looks great in the backyard.
The retro 1987 Quadrajet 350 Mark Cruiser.
That's not currently working.
What about playing your cousin's golf tournament?
It did not stop raining.
All
the entire day. Well, Jeff, at least it was close to the new Brennan Smoke Shop in Hudson, New Hampshire.
Ah, that's what makes it the best worst summer ever. Hudson, New Hampshire, Brennan Smoke Shop.
Your pal Joe Healy just installed the signs.
My pal from high school, Mass Sign and Decal. Well, this is New England, and honestly, I thought commuting to New Hampshire every day in the rain was going to be a big deal, but it's really not that far.
It's really not that bad of a ride.
It's really not that long of a ride to tax-free Hudson, New Hampshire.
Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in the world. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and as always, proper ID is required.
Have Happy a better summer.
Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Well, it's time for us to do our weekly State House report. And again, I can't tell you how grateful I am that we have a tremendous amount of support from all of the legislators and policymakers who work up on Beacon Hill, whether they're state reps, state senators. Even from time to time, we've had constitutional officers pop by. It's been a while. I think the last constitutional officer we had was the state auditor, Susan Bump. She had popped on by, and we chatted with her. But joining us today, he represents the 5th Plymouth District. We have Dave DeCoste stopping by. Representative, first off, how is your summer going so far?
Well, given the last weekend we had, it's getting drier, which is good. We're out of a drought, right? It's interesting. I have not had to water the garden since July 1st. God's been doing it for us. So everything is going fine. If I could, as an aside, mention, we did have, during the heavy rains we had on the 7th, we had a tree lit in my mother's house, and I wanted to give thanks to everyone involved in the Norwell Public Safety, the fire department, and the police department, which were terrific. Got my mother out of the house. The house is in rough shape, but thanks to Chris Glynn and John Dean Roofing and the rest of them, we've got it buttoned up, and it'll get fixed shortly. But aside from that, we're doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's funny you mentioned that. So I started, this was me and the missus, our first year, doing a vegetable garden. And you're right, the Lord has been watering my garden on a regular basis. For my first year, we've already started yielding some vegetables, the green beans popping up. So life is good. Things have slowed down a bit, but nonetheless, there's always something that is percolating up at the State House, which is why we sit down and chat. And I think the latest thing that has come across my purview is the fact that we are soon going to have or be able to have sports wagering here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Right. This has been a bone of contention for a while, and the House and the Senate leadership have really had been of two minds about this. But I think that, you know, the amount of money, it's funny, you and I have talked in the past about losing money to New Hampshire normally in the forms of taxation. But in this case, the example always comes up in terms of losing money to Rhode Island for sports betting. And the number that is bandied about quite a bit is about $70 million in tax revenues lost And I think that was the impetus for moving along a bill. And the bill we passed last Thursday should go to the Senate, and then I think it will be finalized. I think it will be the governor quite quickly. And it basically establishes three categories of licenses and with a fee structure that should generate quite a bit of revenue for the state. And also there are some monies that will go to specific funds for workforce investment, for youth development and investment, and for a purpose of making is a what is called a benevolence fund. And it will make distributions to charitable organizations as recommended by an advisory board that will handle all of this gaming.
Now would the gaming commission still be the regulatory board that would oversee some of this?
Well, some of it, I'll tell you what, there are a whole bunch of new boards that are being commissioned, there'll be a commission. So the gaming commission will be responsible for putting the rules together, but there are also a number of boards and commissions being together proposed that will regulate some of this and regulate, some of the charitable designations of where the funds will go.
Okay. And again, if you're joining us, we're speaking with the state representative, Dave DeCoste, as we check in with our local legislators on a regular basis. So just in closing for this piece of legislation, how long overdue is this, and how important is this going to be to the Commonwealth and communities that you serve?
Well, in terms of, I was sworn in on January 2015. So from the first day I've heard about, this type of bill, something to do with gaming and wagering. And the interesting thing about it is that even in my district, there are a number of folks who are really strong advocates of this. So I'm happy to know that finally they'll be satisfied, I think, to some extent. But there's no question that we're losing a lot of revenue to out of state. So I think it's been a long time in the making, and I don't think that the governor will have any problem signing whatever the House and the Senate come up with.
So transitioning from talking about taxation for sports betting to us getting a little bit of federal funding, and I'm talking about the American Rescue Plan Act. If you could talk to us about that, because I understand that the Commonwealth is going to see some money, but I think there's still kind of questions as to the distribution of these funds.
Well, yeah, the ARPA money is is basically being looked at in terms of either being allocated to the legislature or being allocated to the governor. Needless to say, the governor is a big advocate of advocating, as the previous, money was advocated through the states and the counties, by the way. And I'll speak about that in a second. But my guess is that to the end of the day, the legislature will allocate the funds, and we are already having hearings. We had one last Wednesday, I believe, in terms of listening to the public in terms of where they want that money allocated. But you will see, I think, a pretty rapid allocation of the funds once they come through and down through Washington. And my guess is that the governor will get under the legislature's plan, he will get $200 million to distribute, and the remainder will be allocated by the legislature. And personally, I think that is probably the way things should go. And I also will give hats off to Plymouth County. You talk about legislators that can work together. Our county commission and the team, our treasurer and Tom O'Brien and the rest of the team at the county did a terrific job, in my opinion, during the last allocation. And I think I'm looking forward to working with them. And I know that the selectmen, the select boards in Norwell, Hanover, and Rockland, I think are looking forward to working with them in terms of distribution of funds that they'll be allocated. So we've got a good team at Plymouth County, and certainly in the legislature, where we'll work out a distribution of those funds.
I was going to jump in there real quick and say, it is interesting that we are seeing a 2.0 where we're going from the CARES Act funding under the Trump administration. Now under the Biden, we have the ARPA money that's coming through. And while you have a difference of a makeup of the Plymouth County commissioners, you still have that same engine chugging along. Do you feel as though that they've kind of set the model for other counties in the Commonwealth who still have county government to be able to seek out that money and distribute it 100% to its membership?
Well, I wish they did. Plymouth County was unique in so far as they were the only one who did the CARES money on their own. I'm not sure. I think other counties may now be looking at their model. And I can tell you, I think I speak for most of the selectmen in this district and the people I've spoken to, is that the Plymouth County has just been tremendously responsive. They're very easy to work with. And my personal philosophy is that the local governments are close to the people, and the money can be allocated much more efficiently, much more rapidly. And the county did a terrific job with CARES, and I know they will do a terrific job with ARPA. I look forward to working with them.
And again, we're speaking with the state representative, Dave DeCoste, representing Hanover, Rockland, and Norwell. And, my favorite part of, once we see passage of the budget into law, is to hear how the representatives can talk about how their communities benefited and some of the assistance that was built into the budget. How is the 5th Plymouth District going to do in regards to funding local aid this coming fiscal year?
Well, local aid, the Chapter 70 and 90 funds, my standpoint, I don't think it's ever enough. And not to drift over to partisan, a partisan viewpoint, but I know the GOP has always advocated for taking any surplus and just dividing it using the formula. And for our listeners, there's basically a distribution formula that takes into account a number of things, but it's primarily population and the population and a few other items in terms of just distributing Chapter 70 general government monies fairly throughout the Commonwealth. Education is a little bit different, and we could get hung up on some of the things that what I think are basically as a system that's unfair to the suburbs. But the bottom line is done by a formula, and we have always advocated that the same formula be applied for any surplus. And in a perfect world, I would say to do the same thing with the ARPA funds, but I don't make the rules up there. So, but I will tell you that I think really a lot of local municipalities would welcome the ability just to take those ARPA funds and direct them to the places that they're best needed. Now, in terms of general, I will point out, I was very happy to find that a number of our communities have had special grants. I talked last week, we had an announcement with Rockland picking up just over $180,000 in special road grants and it's very broadly configured in terms of what we can do. And Doug Lapp, his team at Rockland, and certainly Dave Taylor, who's just done a terrific job with everything that he has in terms of the roads in and around Rockland, will have the ability to clean up a lot of the infrastructure in Rockland. They have a beautiful downtown. It's getting better every day. And, Dave, I think we'll have the ability to clean up, to get those, get some of the older sidewalks and roads repaired in that area. They're doing a great job now. And this will just, further his ability to get things done over there. And that's a good thing. That is an example of, I think that is a real success story. And also, I should thank Lieutenant Governor Polito, who has been a champion of putting together these type of grant and grant programs to push money down to the local communities, our local, in this case, the DPW communities, who can get literally get the money on the ground.
As we have a couple of minutes left here, anything else we want to make sure we touch upon while we have you on the mic?
I would like to thank, by the way, as I mentioned before, my aide Natalie tends to do just goes above and beyond. I was going to say she also tends to do a good deal of mentoring of her peers who are newly established in the other aides. But she'll be heading off a little bit, so I want to thank her. She'll be heading off the end of this month, and she's just, Natalie Ella has just done a terrific job, and she'll be heading to Florida for a graduate degree, and we're happy to see that. And towards that end, we have noticed a little bit of a pickup in unemployment claims and claims for other type of help. And our office is always open, and we'll throw up the community along Facebook. But my email continues to be david.decost@mahouse.gov. And if any of you listeners, particularly those in our district, Norwell, Hanover, Rockland, require assistance with anything at the state government, we're more than happy to help. And of course, we have a great federal team we work with Senator Warren, Senator Markey, and Congressman Keating, and they just do a terrific job. And we're very grateful for their help. You mentioned at the beginning that, you know, the team, the legislative team in the South Shore works together quite well, regardless of party. And I would tell you that's the same with our federal office holders. They, when we need help with veterans assistance or Social Security or immigration issues, they are always there. And a special shout out to former Rep. Jim Cantwell, who's always our go-to guy at Senator Markey's office for all of those type of things.
Well, we want to thank you, Representative, for always being at the ready whenever we reach out to you or your aides to come on and just kind of talk about what you're up to. And I feel that it provides transparency to some of the day-to-day workings that you're dealing with. So it gives an opportunity also to every representative and senator a chance to talk about some of the things that are unique to their district, things that they're personally working on, and letting the constituents know that they are indeed in their corner and working for them. So we thank you again.
All right. Kevin, it's always a pleasure to come on here with you, and I thank you for your time, and wish you luck, everything you're doing.
You got it. We will step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk right here. If you didn't know, 95.9 WATD.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. People ask me, is there anything they can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
Is there anything I can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
See? There is. Those big gravel trucks, when they're being loaded, rocks get stuck in the framework of the bed. Truck hits a bump, rock hits your windshield. It pays to stay way back.
It pays to stay way back.
However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask, Could I have EPI?
Sponsored by AbbVie.
Buying, selling, or trading in a car? Learn from the experts how to make the process work for you. Tune into the Boss Auto Show every Saturday after the news at noon on 95.9 WATD. Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, so we are back for the final segment of Monday Night Talk. Many of you who tune into the program, into this radio station, are going, what's this guy talking about? Is he off his meds? Actually, the top of the hour, 7 o'clock, we will be having a political forum for a special election. One of the available select board seats, moderator Christine James. So that's coming up in just a few moments. But right now, we're going to turn action and our focus. I have created a new, it's almost like creating a new genre where you're melding rock and jazz together. So, we have a new segment that we do here called the County Corner of a County Commissioner. Jarola is joining us. Also, let's not forget, he has his program every Wednesday night, 6:15 p.m. called the JV Team. He joined from time to time. How goes? How do I believe you actually arrived back in the state from a trip,
Kevin, and it's always a pleasure to be in. I talk with you and conversations. You do a fantastic program. I would be remiss if I didn't ask Dean James to not ask how to stay or go of the Plymouth candidates, but I'm hoping the fantastic candidates at Plymouth will all be in resound that the Plymouth County Commissioners, because the town of Plymouth receives much money from the Plymouth County program than their similar communities in the rest of the Commonwealth. So there's my quick plug on that. But yes, I am home from Indianapolis. When you had asked me to come on the program, I said, well, I fly and get back as quickly as possible. So make it in time for Monday Night Talk.
So what was the flight? There's a Young Republicans National Committee that weekend.
Yeah. So I'm the man for the Massachusetts Young Republicans, for the hardcore party politics on both parties. Party has a young, for lack of a better term, or in our case, we call ourselves a federation. And our rules and structure is similar to the original committee. We have a chairman, we have a committee, which I'm the national committee man, Massachusetts. And we have a national convention, although we do ours every 2 years, every 4 years, like the Republican committee is. So we did, we reelected our chairman. I think most of the board officers serving the previous 2 years were reelected. Massachusetts has a citation nationally. Our is now the Northeast vice chairman. So he sort of oversees the Northeast region of Young Republic in the Northeast. So we had a nice conference. It was certainly good to be with young Republicans from across the country. And I'll say, as a Republican in Massachusetts, it's always interesting when you can be Republicans who have congressmen and senators and majorities in legislatures. It's sensational, because I think we're able to learn from what they're doing and how they've managed to get to that point. And hopefully, someday we'll get Massachusetts there as well.
Anybody who pays attention to party politics over the past several years, both parties, there's this gravity pull where there are each respective party that are going further, you know, whether they're hardcore or the harder to the right or left, liberal. What is the future of the Republican Party in regard? Going to see a continued trend trying to be more different than older brand party, you know, the party that it is known, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican?
I think so. The biggest problem that we're going to have as Republicans in Massachusetts, and frankly, Democrats in the South are going to have the same issue. You just nailed it. The are becoming so that you are immediately identified with the national branding of the party. Of course, and I'm a proud Republican, extremely well with Greg Hanley and Tom O'Brien, who are two Democrats, same with John Buckley. You know, we work together because we have a job. But there are a lot of people who are inherently just will, because I'm a Republican, dismiss the idea that the Plymouth County office isn't a hyper-partisan one. What I think is going to happen as the party polarized is minority, especially hyper-minority parties like Massachusetts or Democrats, are going to become close to obsolete, because we did local Republicans to the tone and set the brand. I mean, on the national level, Susan Collins is the only Republican in Congress from New England. It's Massachusetts. Right. We have a couple, of course, Governor Charlie Baker is popular, except for with Republican. So even when Republican governor, it's still not enough, because they're trying to box him into the net. And unfortunately, as the party is more polarized, it's going to solidify hardcore states, whether it be Massachusetts for Democrats or Oklahoma for Republicans. It's going to be difficult for the minority parties, I heard, to make those gains. In terms of what we talked about, some of the discussed was just refocusing on 2022. The National Committee Chairwoman, Rhonda McDaniel, also there, and she gave a great talk about conversations. And as she said, hold on, just welcome people into the Republican Party. Republicans, find an ample 10, 20, or 30% that we may disagree on, rather than being happy that we're 70 or 80%. I think she was really encouraging us to find those agreements and work together. And just to remember, as activists and young Republicans are supposed to do, which is, you know, boots on the first run for office, but boots knocking doors, making phone calls, ordinance, and just being in helping candidate office to win, because ultimately that's all it's really about is getting these elections in the win column for Republicans nationwide.
We should have a conversation about this. I think while we're enjoying the break for a moment or two, I had mentioned maybe having a colleagues from the young Republicans.
Yeah, that would be great.
And we have a conversation about what's going on with party politics these days. I would enjoy at least being the moderator of that particular conversation.
That would be great, Kevin.
Okay. Let's the our focus to why I actually, a couple of weeks ago, I actually had the county commissioner chair, Greg Hanley. And during our conversation, he had mentioned, he actually talked glowingly to as the individual who spearhead the American Rescue Plan Act, as the county is going to seek funds and distribute them to its 27 members of the membership that is known in the county. Give me your thoughts on being the person who's going to be the pivot to be able to share this and be, you know, the liaison to distribution of these funds.
Yeah, Chairman Hanley is always too kind, but again, Commissioner Wright, it's a joy to serve with them. I find I'm close to 8 months in already, and they've both just been fantastic with, as has Treasurer O'Brien. But as it relates to my commissioner colleagues, I'm extremely honored that they've trusted me with a role. I think Saw with CARES was an extremely successful, and with the American Rescue, a very different program. And he noted the need or necessity of having someone more on the so to do it. I was more than happy to do it. To work very closely with Treasurer O'Brien. We're currently working on developing, confident that that plan is going to be successful, and we're going to do that plan. And we'll stay tuned. At, probably about 45 days from being able to roll out, and then we're going to hit the ground. They're going to start submitting, and we're going to start sending some money out, and it's going to be a great program for these. But I have to just again give thanks and praise to my commissioner colleagues, Sandra Hanley, and of course Tom O'Brien, the work they've done with CARES. And it's had a call last week or week and a half ago with the administrators, and a little on it's kind of unseemly for me to CARES because I came in January, and the close to Greg and Sandy and my good Aunt Blotta for the success of CARES. But excited to serve as a liaison with the American Rescue Plan, getting out there talking to you, talking to others, the press and the media, and just being around our community and being a resource available to answer their questions. It's been all so far.
The gentleman, actually, you've in for him, or you were elected since he did not seek Rita Pallotta. Conversation CARES Act was sought after, and what it was like, interactions with the state about county overseeing this. Any thoughts as to, have you had conversations with the state? Has the commission or the county had any cross conversations with state officials into the returning role to distribute these new funds?
Yeah, so we did. So in CARES, the county took arrows, but hasn't always had the best of reputation. As I quipped during my goal is for Christine James to never have to ask or wonder, should Plymouth County government stay? Demanded we give them the money, and a lot of our member communities did too. And I have to keep with the CARES Act because I think it's extremely important to know the numbers and know that. And people say they want to eliminate Plymouth County needs to go of that money for their towns. I like to use Swampscott as a comparison. Look, their cap on the Plymouth County CARES is $2.8 million. The town of Swampscott, hometown, their cap is that's a difference of $1.5 million. That's a lot of money. A lot of communities have noted that we might as fast as they had hoped, but we're a lot faster than the state to a point where we have $47 million program so far. Those checks have been delivered, and the state cap on the likes $46 million. So we have already crossed more real dollars than what they've been with the state anyway. So we've delivered faster and percent administrative cost, meaning more money for our towns. And so we've done it. So with the success of the CARES Act, to note that, and I have a sheet that I'll be doing once it's finalized, CARES Act has been extremely successful. To that end, though, the American Rescue Plan is a different program. It's a program. And at the American Rescue Plan, And we were under the impression that we would be passed through and the money would go direct. When we were having conversations, administration and finance, confident that that was their interpretation and that's what was going to happen. Legislature took the administration ARPA away from the and put it in their control, and they only left $1 million. That changed the conversation. We're extremely lucky in Plymouth County to have a fantastic delegation of state reps and states, and most of the members of legislature. But I put in thing Hanover, go and sit in a committee hearing, and to state reps from the Berkshires and Worcester County and the North Shore, why something that just didn't seem like a feasible idea. When the legislature took control, that's when we tasked the treasurer with the plan and putting it together to do our communities.
It's also that other counties a little envious of Plymouth County, because of actions that were taken, say, we will distribute this money and guarantee that I can, you know, get 100% of, and not just a percentage in this, not to be revisionist history here, but the state could not guarantee 100% of the funds would go to 26 towns. Couldn't guarantee that, so which made this very successful. You heard from other as to, you know, how did it go for you, and you advice givers in, you know, how you were able to again. It's going to be a different animal with ARPA. Still, I think the formula is going to be somewhat similar, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, the biggest things that we're doing with ARPA, one of the biggest things that we're providing the apparatus. Because the big thing that I kind of get lost in when this money gets sent down from the federal government is we just, people think, oh, it's just free money, we can just spend it. No, there's a lot of compliance. And as Burr often likes to quip, if you screw this case, it's not the Department of Revenue coming for you. It's the guys in Blue Windbreaker's eye on the front. They are not, if you screw this up, and they will take that money. That's the biggest ad that we can do for our towns, because we receive a direct payment from the government as well. But we've, these communities, first of all, you have thwarted, so there's no hurry. Absolutely no. We still have plenty of CARES Act money left. So continue using CARES, because at the end of the year, as I kind of joked, is like our firstborn, ARPA is our secondborn. Let's not forget the first child. So I often tell people to, I relay to Kevin and other officials, be patient with ARPA. Here's suspended, which is very good amount of time to be able to sit back and be thoughtful with these funds. To your main question as it relates to county colleagues, you know, they had the opportunity, they didn't, and that's fine. You know, they didn't do CARES. I think now with the success of CARES, we're grateful that every county, I think, able to receive ARPA funding, received ARPA funding. Norfolk, Bristol, and Barnstable, I think Dukes County as well, all with taking their share of funding. We've met with Bristol. Bristol County is a little different. They have a different stress. Of course, Dukes County is much different than us, being Martha's Vineyard. Three counties that are really sort of simpatico are Plymouth, Norfolk, and Bristol. And we've had conversations with them and pretty eager to, that's why we're excited to work with them. I think for all of this, and it's interesting to kind of dovetail back from trip I was just on, county government nationwide. You know, I was overhearing a conversation morning at our national committee meeting where they said, you know, they're talking about a guy who was working on campaigns, and one of them went, don't worry, he's okay now. He's a cop in Nevada. You know, that has settled him. He's all set. So what I'm really optimistic about our fellow counties joining in these programs, demonstrating what county government can do, demonstrating that we offer asset services at a very, very efficient, and it's the benefit for, again, I keep coming back to CARES, but the proof is there. It's twice faster. And we're local. I mean, look here at UATD. You know, I mean, they see me. We're, you know, we're accessible. And I think the other part of, and working with Norfolk and Bristol is coming up and hearing different ideas that we might be able to do with these funds. So that we give not only to our Plymouth County, Norfolk and Bristol as well, is our community at that table. We've already had a conversation with our administrators and our town accountants, able to join in on the nations, and they can pick theirs. And, you know, I always said any idea. So if somebody comes up, we can do it, and it's legal, we're going to do it. And these communities and our colleagues, they're going to have different viewpoints. And I think that's always a good plus, an opportunity to vet some different ideas.
Again, you're tuned to 959 WATD Talk. Jared Valenzuela, commissioner, is our guest. We just got about a little more than 2 minutes left. It's just enough time to your inner Beatles fan. McCartney, one being shown on Hulu. I saw the first episode, and I've watched parts of this. Anybody who is a Beatles fan, somebody who wants to kind of see kind of the behind the scenes, simple type of a documentary featuring one Paul McCartney and a master. What would you call Rick Rubin?
He's kind of, you know, one of those guys. Yeah, he's just a brilliant. He's probably, I don't want to sound too, probably up there with George Blum or even Phil Spector, like just fantastic, fantastic music producer, college work with so many different 70s and 80s. Just fantastic guy.
In the documentary while we have a minute and a half left.
Yeah, so I loved it. You're down a minute and a half to talk about Paul McCartney.
Oh, I know.
No, it's great. If you're a Beatles fan, you don't even have to be a Beatle, love music, you've got to watch this. As you just said, Rick Rubin hosted it. He shows just the right amount of them. To be there with Paul McCartney, be picking apart songs everywhere and something, up to McCartney too, and a song like Waterfalls. And to just talk so in depth about it, so well worth it. And it's a 6-part documentary series. I highly recommend it. And said, Kevin, you know, I love to travel in the country and occasionally the world for Paul McCartney. Due to COVID, he obviously hasn't been sad, but I'm glad he's used this time for a new album. He's got an autobiography in November. He's made this documentary. So I'm grateful that in this time frame, he's created this, because as we only just turned, he's getting there. So when he's no longer performing and when he's no longer with us, it'll be awesome. It's awesome to be able to source material to look back. I really recommend it on Hulu. I think you can see, if not, you can bundle it with Disney Plus. It's a fantastic, fantastic, and you'll love it when, you know, when I come back on in a few weeks or a month, hopefully you'll we can dive into it.
Actually can, because you scratched the surface, because there's certain little things, whether it's his relation with John and how they had backgrounds, or, you know, I mean, you know, certain ways that, you know, where, you know, isolate, you know, a particular sounding.
Right.
I don't know. Most people who, most students, they wouldn't play it like that, but you certainly listen to it.
Right.
It's gritty. And again, like I said to you off air, priorization was, I loved how simple. I mean, it's two guys in a room, you know, with a playback machine with some
black and white,
and, you know, you'll get some pictures there, and it's definitely a lot of fun. Well, listen, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin. We love your program and the opportunity to talk about Plymouth County.
And don't forget to tune in to Wednesday night at 6 p.m. for the Jame, starring Jared and a cast of other individuals who sit in, like Corey and Miles and the state rep, Dave DeCoste. Just you who join in and talk about your local know-it-alls is the intro. So we're going to step aside this evening, as I said, coming up in a few moments. Political Forum, folks who are running for select board seats. James will be behind the mic in just a few moments. You are tuned in to Monday Night Talk, 59 WATD. Until next week, 6:15 p.m. That's when we'll have more shows.